Our second New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 18, and I'm skipping around because I'm focusing on one character here. Verses 1 through 3, verse 11, 18 through 21, and 24 through 28. Listen for the word of God. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. After staying for a considerable time, Paul said farewell to the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. At Kenchre, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. When they had reached Ephesus, he left them there, but first he himself went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined, but on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you, if God wills." Then he set sail from Ephesus. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well-versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Messiah, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And when he wished to cross over to Achaia, the believers welcomed him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. The believers encouraged him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who through grace had become believers, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Messiah is Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the witness in scripture of those saints who have been before us, who have lived lives in faith. Pray that you would inspire and encourage us through hearing about their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're using the women's lectionary for the whole church this church year by Wilda Gaffney. And this week she gave us Priscilla. From what I've come to understand, her name is actually Prisca. Priscilla is the diminutive form of Prisca. Kind of like how, what do you call a small kitchen? Kitchenette. So you add the E-T-T-E at the end to make it diminutive. In Greek, you add the ela to make it diminutive. So Prisca is little Priscilla, or little Prisca. Priscilla is little Prisca. Why Luke calls her that, I don't know. Paul usually calls her Prisca. So what we know of her is mostly from here and a few passages in Paul's letters. We don't know if she was Jewish. That's a fun piece there, because it says that Paul found a Jew named Aquila who had recently come to Italy with his wife Priscilla. It doesn't say she's Jewish. That's kind of an interesting way of phrasing it. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. We don't know. And I tried to find information on Claudius expelling the Jews from Rome. I didn't find anything, really. There's a bunch of different dates. Most of them are AD 49, but it could have been before that, and it could have been after. They don't really have that nailed down. They also don't know why. They also don't think maybe it wasn't all Jews. There's this line about Crestus, C-H-R-E-S-T-U-S, that is a Greek word that means one thing, but some people are like, well, maybe it's Christ. We don't know. But what happens is they have to leave Rome and they cross the sea and they go to Corinth. Corinth, if you get kicked out of Rome and you want to live somewhere that's like Rome, Corinth is a pretty good choice. So they go to Corinth and they meet this guy named Paul. And from what I've come to understand, usually people who worked in the same trade would live in the same area, sort of have a guild. But generally, if you're Jewish, it's not a good fit to work with the people, the other folks who are in your trade. because they're going to be sacrificing to idols and doing all sorts of cultural things that you as a Jewish person cannot do. So they're probably off by themselves, and then they meet this other Jewish man named Paul who makes tents, or it's tents or leatherworking, and they're working together. They're like, okay, let's work together. And we don't know. Maybe they were already Christians by the time they met Paul, or maybe they became Christians after meeting him. But they stay together. Paul stays in Corinth for a year and a half, and then something else happens between the verses that I skipped. There's a whole mess, and then it says Paul stayed with them for some time after that. So one of the early church fathers set that as about 2 years. So Prisca is possibly playing host to Paul for upwards of 2 years. Maybe they're living in the same house. And then this is weird. When they cross the next one, let me see if I can give you the geography. So we've got Italy over here, and then Corinth, and then if you cross the next isthmus, you get to Ephesus. So they follow Paul to Ephesus, and then Paul keeps going. They stay in Ephesus. Paul's got places to go. Prisca and Aquila stay in Ephesus, and they meet a guy named Apollos, who is from Alexandria. And if we're doing the sort of general map, we've got Italy, and then Corinth, Ephesus, and then all the way around and down here is Alexandria, sort of toward Egypt. I don't know how he got up there. I'm trying to figure that out. Or how did he get mostly knowledgeable about Jesus, and he's preaching about the way of Jesus, but he only knows about John's baptism? I tried to find that out. Didn't get anywhere. Anyway, but she is teaching, and it's interesting that her name appears ahead of her husband's name. Ananias and Sapphira, the man appears first. In most places in the Bible, the man's name appears first. Most places in the ancient world, if you have a couple, it's the man's name first. Most places today, the man's name is first. The fact that Priscilla or Prisca shows up first, it means that she's kind of a big deal. She's kind of important. So she and her husband are teaching Apollos. There is a line somewhere in the Bible that's attributed to Paul that says, I do not suffer a man to teach or a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. She is to remain silent. This is awkward. Prisca is teaching Apollos, and one person suggested that what that means is that Prisca is just really, really knowledgeable. That she's able to teach, that she's teaching a man, and that a man is actually submitting to her teaching and going, okay, this is, okay, I got it, I'm on board. Like, he meets the two of them, and she's like, you are close, you're not all the way there, but you're really close. That, my friends, is an amazing teaching skill. When I went to seminary, I would have friends who were, well, not friends, acquaintances, classmates, and they would just, in the middle of class, spout off some absolute, utter nonsense. You've seen it happen. You've had classmates. They're just like, well, what about blah, blah, blah? And it's complete nonsense. And I had one professor who was just like, you're almost there. You're so close. You just, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, what did I just witness? It was spectacular. He took them from, you are completely and utterly wrong, to, you are this close. You are almost right. It's just nudge yourself a little bit. The next time I wrote it down, I was like, what the heck did he do? Well, that's what Prisca and Aquila are doing here. They've got that gift of teaching where they're like, you are almost there. You are so close. Just, this is what you're missing. And he grows from that, and he is he's taught, and he moves back across the isthmus to Corinth, I didn't major in geography. He goes back across that body of water to Corinth, where Prisca and Aquila had just been, and they write him a letter of recommendation. And we know that Paul stays connected with Prisca and Aquila because later, I think it's in Romans, he writes that that they say hello. Or no, in the letter to Romans, he says, tell them hello, because he knows that they've gone back to Romans. Romans is dated after this. So to track with them, they went from Rome when they got expelled to Corinth, to Ephesus, and then back to Rome. I promise that's going somewhere. But right now, we're going to bump to Hebrews. Who knows who wrote Hebrews? Yeah. When I was growing up, my dad was like, he majored in Bible, and he was like, they don't know who wrote Hebrews. It's generally accepted that it was not Paul. A bunch of people have been put forward, including Prisca's husband Aquila, and some people thought it was Paul. John Calvin was like, it's not Paul. Most scholars today are like, no, it's not Paul. That's fairly well settled. But who wrote it? It's not signed. Hebrews starts, God, when God spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Most of Paul's letters start, Paul, an apostle of such and such. Or Peter's letters start, Peter. The signature goes at the beginning, but there's no signature. People have suggested maybe the first page got ripped off, but it's weird because it kind of starts at a logical starting point. But Adolf von Harnack, who was a German theologian long before the name Adolf got completely meant something evil. Adolf von Harnack wrote a paper where he argued that the author of Hebrews was Prisca. I thought, that's fun. The only thing I could find in English was an article in 1911 sort of trying to refute it, but as I read the part that was trying to refute it, I was like, this actually seems like a good argument, and I don't really buy the 1911 guy's argument against it. Then I found Ruth Hoppen, who wrote an article. Well, she's actually written an entire book arguing that Prisca wrote Hebrews. I did not get a chance to read it because I discovered it. And, you know, I was skeptical. Who can we really know who wrote this? But as I started considering it and the more I thought about it and looked at Hebrews, the more I was like, oh, man, Hebrews. Prisca wrote Hebrews. Like, I came back in and ran into someone. My wife was video calling someone from seminary, and I was like, I just ran and I was like, I think Prisca wrote Hebrews. I'm 99% sure. And this is why. Part of it is from Ruth Hoppen. Part of it's from Harnack. Part's just looking at it. First, women in Hebrews 11. You've seen Hebrews 11, the so-called Hall of Faith that Kim just read from. It's interesting that the author of Hebrews mentions women as exemplars of faith. One of the 1911 papers, pieces, was that, like, well, a man could have included women. I suppose so. He might have. But that's not especially likely. The reason I had her read from the New American Standard Version is there's the passage about the faith of Abraham. And then it says in the New Revised Standard Version, by faith he received the power of procreation even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren. It's a really contorted way of translating what is in the Greek, by faith Sarah. It's like, by faith Abraham received the power of procreation with Sarah. It's like, it's a real stretch to get around what it actually says. By faith Sarah received the power to have kids. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. Verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Could a man have included women? Sure. Would a first century man have included women as exemplars of faith? Maybe. Would a first century woman have done it? Definitely. Also, it's unsigned. People are like, well, maybe it was Barnabas. If it was Barnabas, he probably would have signed it. If it was Paul, he definitely would have signed it. Paul puts his name at the beginning and the end of his letters. If it was Aquila, but if it was a woman, maybe they wouldn't have signed it. If you saw the quote I put at the beginning from Virginia Woolf, in many cases throughout history, anonymous was probably a woman. Okay, so the author of Hebrews, unsigned, obviously really, really smart, really good at theology. Who do we know who matches that description? Who went out and literally trained an evangelist? Oh, that's also Priscilla or Prisca. Interesting. There's also, I notice, not a whole lot in the way of ego. Granted, women can have ego too, but, you know, it's almost sort of a feature of at least modern day, and frankly, you look in Paul's letters, there's a lot of Paul in Paul's letters. There's a lot of God in Prisca's letter. Or what I'm assuming is Prisca's letter. Ruth Hoppen was like, it may not have been Prisca, but it probably was someone else who closely, someone like her, probably writes this. Another thing that's interesting is in Hebrews, there's this language of a mother's milk feeding a child. Would a man have come up with that metaphor? Maybe. But what we find, Paul has that in one of Paul's letters too. Guess which one? 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the same analogy that the author of Hebrews uses about Hebrew says, you're not ready for solid food. You still need milk. And Paul uses a similar analogy in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, interesting. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Priscilla says hi. Prisca says hi. So I feel like that's a coincidence. That can't be a coincidence, right? Theorizing, Prisca writes it. She uses this analogy. Paul uses the same analogy when he's hanging out with her. I think that's suspicious. I think that's really suspicious. But there's more. If you look in Hebrews 11, remembering we talked about Prisca's journey. She starts in Italy, and all the Jews are expelled from Rome, and then she ends up in Corinth, and then she ends up in Ephesus, and then she goes back to Rome. Listen to this, and tell me if it doesn't sound like it was written by someone who had gone through that. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was set out for a place that he was to receive an inheritance. He set out, not knowing where he was going. They get kicked out of Rome. Where do you go from here? He set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in a land he was promised, as in a foreign land. Oh, living in tents. I'm not saying that's a conclusive case. But she makes tents. Tents show up. That's suspicious. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. All these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance. They saw them and greeted them, confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak this way make it clear that they are seeking for a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the home they'd left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Does that sound like it might have been written by someone who hopped from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus and back to Rome? And just, you know how it is when you leave home and you're gone for a few years and you come back and you can't go back because everything has changed and so have you? I'm just saying. Also, there is one last line that I want to share with you. In Hebrews, I'm sure you're familiar with it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for in so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. is an interesting thing to say if your husband brought home literally the Apostle Paul. I can't prove it, but on the internet, there's this thing called headcanon. Canon is, this is what happened in the show. Headcanon is your personal explanation of it. My headcanon, Prisca wrote Hebrews. It's done. We're done. That's my headcanon. Prisca wrote Hebrews. And I've been thinking all week, how do I tie this together and put a handy little bow on it? How do I give you something to walk away with? And I don't have anything other than I think Prisca wrote Hebrews, and it's really cool to read it through that lens. I hope that as you're heading home going through the week, you find some value in hearing the word of God, but I don't have a sort of, so therefore go and be like Prisca. But I don't know. Or possibly listen to women. There's a good one for you. Let's pray before I get in any more trouble. Gracious God, we thank you for the way you pour out your spirit on everyone, on men and on women, non-binary, whoever. You pour out your spirit on everybody. We ask that you will pour out your spirit on us and give us the humility and wisdom to listen to other people, not just to speak out and spew out everything that we think. Please guide us and be with us as we go through our week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.